The Lord Jesus Christ will be ashamed of those who are ashamed of him. And rather to the contrary, we should be those who are not ashamed. As the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's very important then that we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the Savior. It's good news. It's good news for people to hear about Jesus Christ. And it's even better when they turn from their sins and put their trust in him to save them from all the judgment of God. So, well, how do they hear? They hear by people speaking. Some people just pick up a Bible and they find out about Jesus Christ that way. But generally, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. It comes through hearing preaching like this. It comes when churches, we do things like open air preaching. We put leaflets through people's doors from time to time. There's not much on the television. There's not much on the radio really saying about the way of salvation, even under so-called religious programs. They may sing a few songs or something like that, but you won't really hear very much, very clearly of the way of salvation. So God sent his people out, as we read in Luke chapter 10. The Lord Jesus sent them out to go and tell people that the kingdom of God has come. Jesus Christ is the Savior. They were told at the end of the Gospels of Matthew and Mark to go and preach to everybody, every creature. I think that only means people. We don't preach to our pets. They don't understand quite things like that. But we preach to everybody about Jesus Christ. Well, we're all involved in this. We're all part of the church. It's our commission to all of us who are in Christ. And I put it to you this morning, loving our neighbours. That means all sorts of things. But one thing it certainly means is that we desire that they will be in heaven with us forever. And so for that, we can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher. We believe that everybody can speak something and be ready to answer people sometimes. But there are different times where you can see someone. I saw some people the other day. I thought you could tell that they were in a really sad way. I thought, you know, I should have done it. I know, I probably will. Sometimes we do these things. You say to them, I know what you need. They're looking around, they think they need something else. But they need Jesus Christ, don't they? We know it's what people need. And so we must ask for God's help. We've spoken about the hindrances that are involved. And I'll continue with them this evening. This morning we had several, thinking that someone else would do it. Well, there's a well-known saying, isn't there? Is it? Someone would do it, but anybody we asked, and then it was nobody did it or something. And that's usually what happens. If we leave things to others, anything, if it's important, you do it, don't you? You've got something to do. You don't think, well, maybe someone else will do it. You get on with it. If it's important, then do it. And so it's the same with this. And so it's not just ministers. God won't do it by himself. You know, when God wanted to send salvation, he didn't just send angels to do it. He sent his only begotten Son in the form, in human form, Jesus Christ taking on human flesh. And still, after then, human beings are used to tell others. Something very nice about that, really, isn't there? Because they understand, we understand other people a little bit. So we can say, well, this is what God has done for me. This is what he did for you. You see? The same, similar. We talked about being very busy this morning also, and the fact that, really, well, I'm not talking about going off around the world on a trip, like some of the Pharisees did, trying to find someone at the other side of the world. The people around you, the people in the neighbouring flats, people that you meet day to day, maybe you talk to your doctors, or nurses, or carers, or you speak to people in the shops and things, people that visit you, etc. And people at work, if you're working there, you can speak to people in the right way, yes. If you're at work, you're supposed to be working, aren't you? And there's times when you're supposed to be doing things, and it's not the time to be using your time. But there are ways, there are times we must be wise in such things. Another one excuse was that people say, well, the church is very old-fashioned. But the fact is, they're modern. You can go to some churches now, they have a stage up, they have flashing lights, they have a band, and it sounds like you're hearing the top musicians. You think this is very impressive.
And there's one church in London, a cafe there.
Well, there are some things that are fine, but what I'm saying is that these are nothing really to do. But the point is, if people want to know about Jesus Christ, and you tell them about Jesus Christ, they'll be happy to be with us. You could be Christians, and you could be living in a shoebox, and you could be rejoicing from the top of your head, and you would be thinking, I want to be in a cathedral. You'd be happy with Jesus Christ wherever you are. And different styles, there are different styles of churches all around the world, but if we tell people about Jesus Christ, they'll be happy to be with us. So let's not be worried about that as a reason we can't talk to them. And then also, that it's difficult. Well, we've said a little bit about that this morning, that God goes with us to help us. If anyone speaks about Jesus Christ truly and honestly, God is with us in all that. We think we're on our own. We think we're up against someone's going to do something to us. We don't have to worry about it, because he says that I'm with you always when he sends us to speak about him. So something might happen to you, but we're not to fear man, we're to fear God. So love our neighbours and tell them. Now we come to where we are today, this evening. Slow down a bit. Waiting. Some of us say, well, I'm just waiting for an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Well, sometimes we do have to wait. But I think often we may wait too long, and we may have missed, we may look back and say, oh, I should have said something then. But it's hard to see it at the time. So what we must do is be very prayerful. We must pray to God that he makes us speak properly, speak in a godly way, and that we can say the right thing, the right way, and I can't wait to someone. Just, if I look back, I can think, I didn't really hear properly about Jesus Christ until I was 31 years old. And maybe earlier, someone would have said something and I'd have brushed it off. But now I look back, I would have been very thankful for the people that I met when I was 31. But I'd have been very grateful if it had been earlier, if someone had intervened in my life a bit earlier and told me the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I should turn to him to save me from my sins, and I have a new everlasting life, I would have been much amazed. But God's ways are past finding out. But we shouldn't wait and leave things for someone for the right time. You know, we don't know how long we live. We don't know how long our neighbours live. And now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. It is true that with time, people start to know us a bit more, and then it's easier to talk to them. But that's no excuse for delaying things. If we leave talking about Jesus, it makes it seem as if it's not really very important. So we must try. We must pray that God will help us in this. Perhaps there's someone and you think, well, where do I start? I've left it a long time. I haven't really said. Maybe it's someone in your family, and you think, well, just where do you start? Say, well, I suggest this one is to say, look, I think I've really got something to say. I feel a bit embarrassed. I haven't said it to you earlier, but I've been a bit shy, perhaps. And I think one was being a bit shy, but now I really want to have a talk. Would you please come round and we'll have a cup of tea, and I just want to tell you something. And then you can start to tell them. They say, well, what was it then? You say, well, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we should talk to you about it, about him. and the way of salvation. Then, something else that may surprise us. We can't tell, really. It's almost as if you look at a watch and you can't tell what time it is. It's rather like that with speaking to people about Jesus Christ. 1 minute, it looks as if there's nobody interested. This has happened before in our country. And suddenly someone would be preaching and lots of people come and listen. Lots and lots of them. They all come and hear. They want to hear. And God, you see, when God starts working in this way, things happen very suddenly, very quickly. And so when Jesus said, do you remember one of the things he said to the apostles here? There was a great harvest. The harvest is truly great. He said elsewhere, the fields are white under harvest. What he was saying was that there was lots of souls that were about to be saved. Lots of people were about to turn to God. It didn't look like it to them. They couldn't see it. People looked just the same as they did yesterday. But they were told to go and to speak. And people believed on Jesus Christ. And so I put it to you today. It's very similar. We can't see that anyone looks like they're ready to. When someone would have seen me when I was 31, no one would have said, well, here's someone that's ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I look probably like one of the least likely. But it wasn't so. And we don't know what God is about to do. Queen Esther came to the throne for such a time as this, and we don't know what is just around the corner. So we shouldn't wait. We should go on as Jesus has said. Some people say, well, we need to do something first. Do you know what happens when people go abroad as missionaries? Some people say to them, look, you can't just preach the gospel to them. You've got to give them food and clothing and shelter and dig wells for them, and then you can preach. And some of them do that. And then do you know what happens? People turn around and they say, look, these Christians, they're trying to bribe them with wells and clothing and housing and shelter and medicine. They say, well, no, we just did it because people said you can't preach till you did it. And you can't win either way round. So there's no reason to delay. People are going to be upset and make excuses for us, whatever we do. But now is the time. Don't leave it. There are people who are literally, every day, you may hear medical reports. People are dying of this and they're dying of that, and there's so many, and it could be prevented. Well, if people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be prevented from facing God in judgment and eternally in hell. And we don't know the days that they're numbered. So let us not wait too long. Let's pray for good opportunities. Pray that the Lord will give us the best opportunities, that we'll even be speaking to the right people almost, the ones that he is going to save. But if not, let us speak to them all before it's too late. Well, that was number six. Number seven, reason why it may be difficult for us to tell people about Jesus. We may think we're too old. Or not up to it. For some infirmity. Old age in particular. But you know, Proverbs says in chapter 16, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now there are many old people I don't mean to be rude to them, have maybe lost a lot of sense. But if it's grey, as that's a hoary head is a grey head, it's a crown of glory if it's in the way of righteousness. A Christian, an elderly person, is a person with a crown of glory. Their grey hair is a fine thing. And so it is that old people have great assets, older. You don't mind being, I think we're all getting old, but some older than others. I know one older lady, she used to say to people, she says, she used to say to them, are you saved? What she meant was, are you a Christian? Have you been saved from your sins by trusting in Jesus Christ? She's just come out with it. She wasn't afraid of what anyone would say back to her. And I know of another friend. She said to me recently, oh, I shouldn't say this, when you're old, you can say whatever you like. But she meant that in a good way. I mean, sadly, some people perhaps have turned their old age into bad things, and that's much to be regretted. But for Christians who've experienced life, have seen different sides of life, and they've got to their old age, and they can say, Jesus Christ has kept me, and if you turn to him, he'll keep you. He'll bring you to the end of your life with a great hope and a great expectation. That's a pride. You surprise young people when you tell them that. And you may be pleasantly surprised that they find this most fascinating. So tell them that you know someone who is very wonderful. God, our Saviour, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard from a church some time ago that when the minister went there, it wasn't much different to us. A few folk, a few elderly folk mainly. And he said to them, go round to all the houses and knock on their doors and tell them there's a church here and they're preaching Jesus Christ and it's good news. Come along, come along. 11 o'clock on a Sunday, 6:30 on a Sunday, see you there. Give them get you some little cards. Give them to people. Tell them it's good. Tell them that Jesus Christ is good. And you know, this particular church, that quite a few of the people came. People with children, younger people, older people, different range of them. They came. And it was only old people. Some of them, they got round, just about made it to the house. So the minister said, I must tell you to come. And they did. Some of them, they didn't all come. But you know, you'll find that they're probably much more polite to you, have a bit more respect than they do to some of the younger ones. So, sure, there was prayer behind all that. I'm sure the people were praying for people to come in, and we must pray likewise, not for our own sake, but for the glory of God. Others, you may know of, are very young. They think that they're too young to speak out for Christ. Well, actually, often the young are very good, they're very keen, but they may be inhibited, thinking perhaps that they haven't got the experience. But the great point is that young people do talk a lot. They're all talking to each other, phoning each other, emailing, interneting each other in one way or another, and they want to know what they're doing. And a Christian young person can stand out in the crowd, not going along with all the so-called friends. They're not really friends at all, just people wanting to feel better about each other. But they can help others greatly. Young Christian people have a great strength. They have great strength in their young age. The young men have learned to be strong. And so the young women also have a great strength of character that the world doesn't have. The world's in fear. The Christian has a true confidence. And so young people shouldn't be inhibited. They may not know very much. They may not know the whole Bible inside out. But young people, if they know Jesus Christ is their Saviour, then they have sufficient to be going on. Now, we may think, I don't know if you've tried to speak to people before about Jesus Christ. And maybe think, well, we haven't been very successful. I know I've had some good conversations with certain people. One or two people I've maybe been quite a bit of help to, but often we may feel that we haven't got very far. It's no point, really. Let other people do it. Well, we've discussed that. But this would be wrong. The Bible encourages people always to continue patiently. Like a farmer, when he puts in his seed, he has to wait for it to come up. So sometimes, often, there may be, it appears all there's this great enthusiasm. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Some of the seed, fallen on stony ground and among thorns, it came up quickly, but it was soon squashed away. But the good seed, often a bit slower, and you have to wait for it. And so, there was a man called Nicodemus. Do you remember Jesus went to him? We spoke about him a few weeks ago. He was a Pharisee. Well, he came to Jesus, at night, quietly, talked to him. He was told things he didn't understand. Didn't seem to have got anywhere what Jesus said to him. He must be born again. Even more, that he was meant to know that, because he was a leader, and it completely stumped him. But do you remember, sometime later, at the end, perhaps a few years later, he's there at the grave with Joseph of Arimathea, where Christ is being, after he'd been crucified. So Nicodemus had believed. It had just taken some time. And sometimes it's like this. So you can say something, appears that people have turned away, but they may be thinking about it for a long time, and it may play on their conscience for some years. And these little things often stick. You may tell someone, you know it's a dangerous thing to live without God, who's made you. You may tell them simply that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, and that people need to turn to Him. Well, they might not. They may gradually, this may play in their minds, and they may come later to salvation. But there are other examples. There was a man in Wales, he was a minister in a church. He waited for people to come for a long time. Eventually, a shepherd came down from the hills and came to a service. He said, "I've been watching you for some time. Now I've come to listen." Well, people are watching us. We want them to come and listen. But we may have to wait. They may just be thinking about it a bit more. But keep persevering. Don't give up. Don't be weary. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. This is one of the best things you can do, to tell people about Jesus Christ. We said this morning, there's a crisis in our land. Everyone should know about Jesus Christ, but most people don't even know who He is. Maybe the young people even worse. If you get opportunities to say anything to them, please do take these, especially with young people, but with all people. Sometimes we don't see much of the results of what we're doing. God keeps it from us. If we were to go and speak to people about Jesus Christ, and suddenly there were lots of people who were rejoicing, then we might think of something we've done. But God works in very quiet ways in these things sometimes, and we have to not be lifted up to be proud of something we've said, as if it was us that did it. So sometimes things are shown very slowly. Remember, once I left a Bible somewhere. Someone I would have perhaps tried to have spoken to. But they picked up the Bible. They read some of the Bible. They went to church. They became a Christian. Well, I was only involved in that very indirectly. But the Lord didn't puff me up with pride for something which was hardly anything at all. But the final problem and difficulty is that we must just feel a sort of embarrassment, really. The world goes on the way it is, and if we start speaking about Jesus Christ, we're going to stand out a bit, like a sore thumb. It didn't seem to worry Jesus himself, did it? It didn't worry his followers at all. And it shouldn't really worry us. But this can be a great hindrance to us. Now, we read there in Mark, whoever will be ashamed of me, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. So we're also told, to whom much is given, much shall be required. So on the one hand, we've got to think, right, I'm not going to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I wouldn't want him to be ashamed of me. As someone said to me, used to say, he's given us his best. So we should give him our best. What is our best for him? Well, we should love God and love our neighbours and tell them about Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be ashamed. We should give him our best. And we're also told, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Think what you've been given in Jesus Christ. If we're what I would call proper Christians, people who have peace with God because we know that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins on the cross, so we're absolutely safe. This is really, if you come from a Roman Catholic background, you think, well, you maybe haven't heard it quite like this, because this is the main feature, really, of Protestant Christianity, is that we believe that we're justified by faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, and by God's grace alone. So it's all been done for us by Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we are very content, not because we're anything, but because he's done everything for us. And so we want to live humbly for him and to give our best. We give our best back to God, not to earn our salvation, not to bribe him, not to pay for our sins, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. So he's given us peace and joy and happiness and contentment and a sure hope of heaven. What wonderful things he's done. And we are assured that it's all his work, all to his glory. So he's given us so much. But it says, on the other hand, much shall be required. And it's hard to, you may think, well, it's hard to weigh up these two things. On the one hand, you're saying, it's all been done for us. You've been given an inheritance of heaven in Jesus Christ. All things are yours. Everything that's his, you've got to share, you've got an inheritance in it one day to be with him, to be free from all the evils of this world, the evils of your own heart, and to be with God forever and ever. The free gift of God, everlasting life. Yet, it says much shall be required. We are expected. We will do it not be perfect at it. We'll say of ourselves, I'm just an unprofitable servant. We say, I've done nothing really. But, you know, if you've spoken to people of Jesus Christ, you've done something very precious and very good. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Yes, it requires much prayer. There was one who the disciples had trouble trying to cast out a demon. And Jesus says, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And it's much the same in this difficult work. Now, it's easy in a way, isn't it? Just open your mouth and speak to people about Jesus. At the same time, it feels difficult to us. There's something in us that fights in us, our indwelling sin. We'd rather be comfortable. We'd rather not have anyone get upset or say that they don't agree or get annoyed or spoil anything in any way. But we need to be prayerful there on this matter, that God will give us what they call liberty, unction. It's the work of his Holy Spirit in us to speak well of Jesus Christ. He warns us. They sent out as lambs among wolves. But he wouldn't send lambs out among wolves, would you? You'd say, well, stay with the shepherd. Well, we're thankful that Christ is our shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, but he still sends out his sheep Though he's the good shepherd, have you thought about it like this? On the one hand, he's the good shepherd. No one can take them out of his hand. And on the other hand, he sends us out like lambs among wolves. But you see, as he does it, he's still our shepherd. He's watching over us. And you think, well, in such a dangerous work, he's watching over us all the more. I put it to you that in going to speak to people about Jesus Christ, rather than feeling afraid, which you may feel beforehand and embarrassed, you'll actually feel more of a sense of God being with you. So what seems to be the worst thing to do actually turns out to be the best thing, the most comforting, the most thing to lift us up, cheer us up. In fact, I've always known people that go and speak to people about Jesus Christ are always very cheerful. It lifts their spirits because God is with them in it. He promises to be at work in such a work. Well, some people are perhaps a bit shy. And this may be part of this embarrassment, a natural quietness. Well, that's not all a bad thing. The people are not so boastful and loud. A certain shyness is good, and people of that characteristic, that slightly introverted, maybe not extremely, but slightly introverted type of character, quiet, gentle people, well, you might find people listen to you better than someone that's loud. Someone that's too bold, you frighten people off. So there's not always something wrong with a person that has a respect for others, sensitivity. They know they must tread gently, but they still must tread. They mustn't go running away. But a little bit of shyness is not all a bad thing. Just need to pray. If we're like that, a little bit tender-hearted, that God will open these ways for us and open our lips that we may speak of Him. Just like when we sing. When you sing in church, out come the words. We sing about Jesus Christ. We haven't got a fear in the world, have we? Well, let us be like that in our general conversation. Some fears that they'll be rejected. If you're going to propose to a woman to be married, it must be a very frightening thing to put it. But you know what happens? The man has a bit of a clue beforehand that he's asking the right one. If you're not sure, maybe you're best not to ask. But when the time comes, you can tell, now this, we've met the right person, and you can ask, and it wasn't as frightening as you thought it might be. But you see, when we go and speak about Jesus Christ, we might fear, quite rightly, that they'll say no. We don't want to know. We don't want you talking to us about our sins. That's very personal. That's between me and God. And you go away. But we read here, when they wanted a king, in the days of Samuel, he said, they've not rejected thee, but they've rejected me. And when Jesus Christ said, he that despiseth you, despiseth me. So, when people are being, as it were, horrible to us, if you like, when we say anything about Jesus to them, we shouldn't really worry, because what they're doing is they're actually trying to have a go at God. Their big fight is with God, it's not really with us. If we happen to be there, we can, maybe there's a time to run away. But really, the person that they're really angry with is God. And we must pray that they'll be brought to their senses. But one last thought. We may think, we may know that we're very sinful, and that really, how could someone like I, or you or I, go and speak to someone about Jesus Christ? And they say, oh, you're a hypocrite, you tell me about the forgiveness of sins, and you're just a terrible old person. Well, let's be humble before God. Let's be sure that if we find sin in our own hearts, that we repent towards God, as David did in Psalm 51, which we'll sing a little portion of. Just maybe remember those verses we have at the beginning of our service. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Wash me truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then it goes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, coming humbly before to God as sinners, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So that's one thing, if we think I'm too sinful to go and speak about Jesus Christ, confess your sins. We should be confessing our sins to God anyway. We have a general confession when we meet together. We don't come confessing them to one another. We confess them to God. And we trust in Jesus Christ that he died for all our sins. So we receive an assuredness of our forgiveness. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That was the promise that David had in that text. And I believe it applies to us. Let not our sin be a hindrance to our speaking. When people use the word evangelism or outreach, I just say speaking to people about Jesus and their need. So, a final thought is this one. It's just a final thought here. If you're still a bit afraid, I don't know, some people are afraid of spiders, and you can go on a course somewhere, and they'll probably get you near one, and they gradually teach you not to be afraid. Well, sometimes they just have to go near it, and after a long time, they'll say, "Everyone touch the spider. Look, it's fine. Ah, that's better." Suddenly, they're cured. And it's really the same with speaking about Jesus Christ. There's a possibility that we won't put things exactly right in the right way. We must remember to be kind to people in our approaching them. We're not out there to have a go at people. It might come across like that to them. And there might be much we can do. We don't know what their particular sins are. We must be careful not to suddenly come out with something that's a false thing to them. And so we must be wise as serpents, as Jesus said, but kind. And so there's a time when we must just, someone would say, bite the bullet. I'm not sure why they say that. And we must just be prepared, pray, and if the Lord doesn't seem to have provided an opportunity, then perhaps that opportunity was nearer than we thought. And we must just think almost that there must be someone we can speak to today. And don't leave it too long. And I think you'll soon find yourself, I wish I'd done that earlier. I wish I'd spoken to someone earlier about Jesus Christ. It really isn't as bad as I thought it was. In fact, it was quite a good thing to do. And especially it will be so if they turn to God and are saved. He that winneth souls is wise. He which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Wouldn't you like to do that? There are people who dig around in disaster zones, and they're hailed as heroes when they dig someone out who's been buried in the rubble of an earthquake for a few weeks. When you speak to someone of Jesus Christ, if they will turn to him, you're saving someone who may be many years dying in their sins, awaiting the judgment. And now they can be alive unto God. And just one encouragement. If you feel that there's people that you would like to talk to, and you're not sure what to do, well, ask someone to go with you. The disciples went out in twos. I'd be happy to talk with you. And if it'll help, I'll talk to someone. And then if you want to talk, I'll say, well, I'll introduce you to someone. Say, here's my friend. He's got something very important to say to you. Would you like to listen? Just for a few minutes. And you can tell them a little bit of what Jesus has done for you. Wouldn't that be lovely? Let's do pray. I think the most important thing is to pray. And let's continue and conclude with prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we must acknowledge before Thee where we've maybe been embarrassed or ashamed of Thee, that we've sinned against Thee. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast promised to accompany Thy word. If we can speak of Jesus Christ, if we can perhaps quote some verses from the Bible, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that He calls people to come unto Him, to believe on Him, then there's much that we can do. And Lord, yet we pray for Thy help, as we are weak and somewhat fearful. We don't feel that we have any skill or ability. Lord, we do know that there are many who are perishing and dying in their sins, and the wrath of God is upon them. And we know that Thou dost call all Thy people to speak well of Thee, to bless Thy name both in private and in public. And we pray, Lord, for Thy help. We pray for our neighbours and friends and family, and Lord, that Thou would open our mouths that we may speak well of Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou would work even in the hearts of those who we will meet, that they may be people that to us don't look ready to hear, but when we speak to them, they may be people who say, why didn't you tell me before? Why didn't anybody tell me before of this great God and Saviour who died for sinners? Lord, have mercy upon us. And do work, use us, Lord, we pray, to Thy glory, that many may rejoice. And we thank Thee, Lord, that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. In the Lord Jesus' name, Amen.